Thank you, Lord. We welcome you, Holy Spirit. We welcome you. Say to us tonight that God has got an appointment with each one of us tonight. You don't have to fear what He's going to do. You don't have to worry about the change. It might be painful, it might be exposing, it might be whatever, but God so loves you and He cares for you tonight. He wants to give you a testimony tonight if you just allow Him. Seats. Sit wherever you want to sit and just enjoy God's presence. Thank you, band. You guys are so amazing. Thanks so much for the ministry. Appreciate you so much. It's so good to see you. You, how are you doing? Great, man. Great. Rory, it's so good to see you, man. Tiens, Melissa, so lekker om julle te sien. Daniel, gaan het goed? Sean, it's great to see you, man. Liz, it's lekker om julle te sien, hoor. It's lekker om julle te sien vanavond. Jean-André, Mornay, it's so good to see you tonight. What's your name? Elry. Elry, welcome here. Welcome here. What's your name this evening? You're new here. Sasha, it's so good to have you in the house of the Lord. Hello, Tanya. Kylie. And Benny. So good. Hello, Johan and Aniki. All you precious people. It's just so amazing to have you in the house of the Lord tonight. Are you excited for tonight? Are you excited for what God wants to do? God is just doing so many amazing things in my life. I've got so much to share tonight, but yeah, I just, the Lesotho was amazing. We've just come back. By the way, the team are still trying something funny with them. But they're still traveling back tonight, or they were delayed on the border, so. So I just want to share that with you tonight. I really want to encourage you to open your hearts. Because, yeah, God is just so good. Amen. God is awesome. And, yeah, we can have a little bit more light. Maybe I just don't want all these lights on. It's sometimes just so bright. But my message this evening is simply, it's called what the CD's name is. We won't be afraid. Because I don't know about you this evening. I don't know what you feel in your heart. I don't know if you feel fear about anything. Do you feel fear about the future? Do you have a fear about what's going to happen on the 7th of May, on this coming Wednesday, about the future of this nation? Do you have a fear about you and your life not making it? Do you have a fear about not making your exams or not passing or not being successful? I think we can all be honest here tonight. We've got fears in our lives. I've got fears in my life. I've many times got a fear of not being successful, not being significant, not making it in God's kingdom as a pastor, to be honest. I don't know what your fear is this evening. Maybe you feel fearful of rejection because there's so much fear in our hearts. There's so much fear of man. There's so much fear of people, fear of not making it, fear of failure, fear of just the future, fear of not making it to heaven, fear of what God is going to say to you when you get to the pearly gates one day. So I don't know what's going in your heart this evening, but I just know that God is here. Amen. God does not be afraid. And that's why the CD is so significant. CD launch at the time says that we won't be afraid. We should not be afraid. But yet we are. Let's be honest. We are afraid many times. We are afraid of where we're going and what our lives may mean. So I want you to look into your heart this evening. I want you to be honest with the fears, because I believe God wants to set you free of that. Maybe fears of the past and of that you're still being held back by. So good, and He wants to deliver you of any fear this evening. Amen. Because we were speaking to so many people this outreach in Lesotho. We were speaking to awesome people, but people caught in bondage. So many people that were just like not knowing where their lives were going. It was so amazing speaking to many people. What would you do if you could do anything in life? What would you do with your life? And they were like, anything except what I'm doing now. I'd literally do anything. We were speaking to some of the shepherd boys, and they would say, I'll do anything except look after sheep. And some housewives who didn't have a job, they say anything just not to not have a job kind of thing. I would do anything. And there was so much fear of the future and fear of what their lives are meaning and fear of just failure, because you could see they're living in this beautiful country with the mountains all around them, but yet there's this unfulfillment in their lives. There's this fear of, what does my life really mean? Because at the moment, it doesn't mean anything. And it's so sad to see, but then you come with this hope of Jesus Christ in your life. You come with this hope that God wants to do something through you, even though you also maybe have fears and you're also not sure about life many times, but yet you're sure of one thing, and that's that Jesus loves you and that Jesus loves that person as well. And He wants them out of that bondage. He wants them out of that fear. And some people respond well, some people respond not so well, but that's fine, because you know you're used by God, and it's just the most amazing experience to walk in the Holy Spirit and to see our lives change. And even though they don't respond, you know a seed has been sown in their lives. And I received this word actually for the church that I preached at last Sunday, because I believe that this is what the people of Lesotho need, because there's so much fear there. There's so much witchcraft and control and manipulation and people being controlled by religious churches and all these things. And God just took me to this scripture, and He's been working through this with me. So I want to read this with you and just go through with some things that I believe God wants us to look at this evening, because I believe this is the answer for life. This is the answer for people's lives. 1 John chapter 4 says the following. And by the way, this is the greatest love letter of all time. Amen. This is the greatest love letter that we can read, and we can be encouraged and we can be inspired, because this tells us how much the greater being that's created us loves us. And He knows better than we know ourselves. So we should follow this. We should desire to eat this every day, because it's our daily bread. It says, beloved, and in verse 7, 1 John chapter 4, it's up there especially for you to read. You can follow in your Bibles if you want. Sometimes it's nice that there in Lesotho, you don't have PowerPoints or anything, so you have a few notes there, and you preach and you wonder, where's the PowerPoint? Oh, sorry, there's no PowerPoint. Yeah, we'll go on as the Lesotho people do. It's fine. It's much better. I did this especially for you guys, because I love you so much, and I know you enjoy PowerPoint. Otherwise, I would have left it and done what Clint did and just wing it, as he says. Just wing it off a few notes and out the word, but I'm still going to wing it out the word tonight. Amen. Beloved, he's speaking to the beloved, and I want to say to you tonight, beloved, you are beloved. You are loved. Yanni, you're loved tonight. Jandra, you're loved. Sean, you're loved. You are loved. You are loved. How cool is that? Eodia, you're so loved tonight. Do you know that? You're so loved tonight. Someone loves you more than you can know. And it's not a person that he would lie to you. He's someone who believes in you, and he's someone who wants you to prosper and wants you to have abundant life. And so John is writing to the beloved, and so I'm speaking to you guys as beloved tonight. He says, beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God. And everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. He who does not love does not know God, for God is love. And I want to ask you this evening, do you know God? Do you really know God? Do you know the love that He has for you? And do you know the love that He wants to pour into your hearts? Because if you don't, then I want to ask you, do you really know Him? Because that's what the Word says. Love is of God, and God is love. And it says, he who does not love does not know God. And I don't know what your perception of love is this evening, but love is something we sang about, but it's not just something we sang about. It's something so awesome. It's something that happens in your heart where you realize, God, I don't understand this in my human mind. I really don't understand this. And then it says, in this, the love of God was manifested toward us, that God has sent His only begotten Son. Isn't this amazing? Just because God is love doesn't mean He stops there. He tells us how we can receive this love, and He goes on into action. God is not a God of intention. He's a God of action, and He does things for us. He does things for us. Can I say that again? He gives, He gives, He gives. Can I have an amen this evening? This is the God we serve. And it says the following. It says that he was manifested. His love was manifested among us. Among us. Do you see that? Among us. Not among I or among me. Among us. That God sent His only begotten Son into the world so that we might live through Him. God wants us to live. It's like those dry bones that are not living. God wants us to live through His Son Jesus. That is His love for us. And it was just so amazing for us to share again about the love of God, because I realize that this is crucial for people who are caught in fear. And I'll show you why at the end. I'm just going somewhere with you this evening. But God is love, and it's manifested in His only begotten Son. And then the following verse says like this. It goes like this. In this is love. Not that we have loved God, but that He had loved us and sent His Son to be this big word for us. For our sins. Propitiation. Say that after me. Propitiation. I'll explain to you what that means now, but it says in this is love, not that we can do stuff for God, not that we can try to love God as best as we can. That's not love. Love is this, that He loved us and sent His Son for us. Sometimes we forget about this in Christianity. We forget about the fact that God loves us so much. And we focus more on our love for God and what we can do for God, and it's not wrong. It's good. But if it comes at the price of the fact greater than ours, then we're missing it. He sent His only Son. I'm getting a new mic. This is cool, okay? And it was so amazing for us to take our children on this mission, okay? Now, we had some fun with... And I realized that my son needs to know a little bit more about love, because he's picking up these funny things from his friend Ethan, okay? So I'm not blaming Ethan. It's probably Matthew influences Ethan as well. But the one, a couple of days ago, we're going to this house now. We take them with, and we're going door-to-door evangelism, and we just, you know, speaking to people, running around. And then I hear Matthew saying, he's almost not so excited about his friend Ethan than these other friends there that could be his friends. He's just not sure that they're his friends yet. But anyway, he says to him and Ethan, look at these boys, and now they sort of want to play with them. But then this one guy says, he says to this other little boy, and I don't know where he gets that from, I'm going to pour hot water on your face. Like, I don't think that's so very loving, okay? I realized I've got to pray a lot for my son. He needs to have love. Like, we're going there to love these people. We're going there to reach out and preach the gospel. And yeah, like these little boys, I'm going to pour hot water in your face. And obviously it's a joke. And I don't know if they know what they meant, but I just realized. And then, like, I said, but don't you want to just be friend? No, I don't want to be his friend. I don't want to be your friend. And then he tells them, I don't want to be your friend. But Ethan's my friend.
You see, it's so easy to love people. So easy to love people that we feel comfortable with. But Jesus came to be that propitiation, the replacement, that we do not have to die. We don't have to take the wrath of our own sin on ourselves. He came to do that for us. He came to be that mercy seat to cover our sins and say, Father, don't judge these people. I will take it upon myself. And that is what love is. You see, love is not a feeling. Love is not an emotion. Love is truly an action. Love is truly something that God did for us. Something not very pleasant. The death on a cross, the suffering, the pain. That we can have abundance of life. And I know in Lesotho the devil has stolen so much from people, and people are caught in religion, and everyone says they're Christians, but there's no fruit. There's so much death. And the one village that we planted a church in this morning, there was just killings, and people are in fear because they don't know if they're going to be killed. And we spoke to some people that were even involved in these killings and everything, and it was just amazing. Or the one guy's been accused of it. You can speak to Tim about the story, but it's just amazing where we're really in the height of the fear and in the midst of fear and of you know, and it's so significant that we can plant the church in that little village called Polateng. Today it started. The church was birthed today. And even the chief of the village was there, praise the Lord. We spoke to her and she's so open and she's excited about what God wants to do there. But you see, it's not only in that village that there's so much fear. There's fear in our lives. There's fear in our midst. Because we're not sure always of God's perfect love. And tonight I believe He wants to remind you of His love. He wants to change your heart tonight. And it says the following. It says, listen, yeah, if this has all happened to you, then beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. We also ought to love one another. And we experienced a little bit of it on our team. It was just amazing how God united our hearts, and there was so many differences, so many young people who had never been on a mission before, but God just united our hearts, and we just started to love one another and realize this is going to change a community if a community loves one another, and we need to demonstrate that even in our fallenness. But it was so amazing how God just united our hearts and we could go as one team. And I believe God wants to do that in our church as well. He wants to unite our hearts that despite our differences, despite all the barriers we have and the issues we have with one another, God still wants to use us as a church together. But He wants us to love one another specifically. Because why? God had loved us. And verse 12 says that no one has ever seen God. If we love one another, God abides in us and His love is perfected in us. This word perfected. And so John is writing and he's saying, listen here, no one has seen God. But you know what? You can demonstrate God through this one thing. This love that's abiding in you. And it was amazing to see the faces of the people that we prayed for and that we spoke to, how they could experience God's love touching them. Because we really said, God, please do this through us. We don't know how to love these people and they're so different from us. And there's a language barrier because we've got to translate. And but I said to the team, I said, people, listen here, we need to rely on God here. Because we cannot, in our natural abilities and our good speaking abilities and our knowledge of the word and all this, we cannot communicate with these people on an intellectual level. We need to show them our hearts. And it was so amazing this morning when we left. We invited the people to church this morning before Hester, myself and Belinda left a bit early just to make it on time. Praise the Lord, we did leave early because the others are still on their way. So I would have missed church tonight. How sad would that have been? But anyway, so we left early. We left as the church service started, but we invited people to church. And the one family, they just were so sad to see us go. They were like, when are you going? And oh, no, right now, like after church. Oh no, we are so sad today. Because we know God's love had touched them through us. And then we said, listen, yeah, you don't need us to have God's love touch you. We just demonstrated that the church is supposed to love people and God loves you. So find yourself a church. Get into the church. If you can't come this morning, then come next week or whatever. But be part of a loving church. Why? Because God wants to demonstrate His love through the church. We also ought to love one another. No one has ever seen God. If we love one another, God abides in us and His love is perfected in us. So first of all, a couple of verses previously, He says, that by this is the love that God sent His Son. And then verse 13 says, by this we know that we abide in Him and He in us. Because of what? He has given us of His Spirit. And that's what we realized on this mission, is that we need God's Spirit, the Holy Spirit, to show us how to love people and to forget about ourselves and say, God, love people through us, because we in our natural human abilities will not be able to love these people. We look at them and they're so different and their circumstances are different and we almost can't identify with them. But yet God did it through us. And we could see the difference. Some people did respond. Others were challenged because of their hardened hearts. And they're not ready yet to respond, but we believe they will respond. We spoke to another lady the other day and it was so amazing. We just started to challenge her on, because she was sick. A lot of these people are sick, but there's open doors because they've gone to see witch doctors and they've trusted in other things other than God. So we had to tell them the truth. In love, obviously, but we had to challenge them and say, listen, yeah, you need to repent of that. You need to say, I put my trust fully in God. And then she was a little bit challenged and said, yeah, I sort of want to do that, but what happens if I go back? What happens if people force me to go back to the witch doctor again? And, you know, then I'm like lying to God. And she's telling all these interesting stories. And we say, listen, yeah, God has got your future sorted. You just repent of the past. Don't worry. And then I realized there's a control over her life. She's so afraid of the future. She's so afraid of missing God. And then eventually she started to feel a little bit challenged and she said, yeah, but you guys aren't supposed to now judge me now. She used the word judge, but we just said, look, we're not judging you. You've got the problem. You need to have God heal you. And we had to show you that God's word is true. And so she quoted the one scripture. She said, Isaiah 59 verse 1 says that, you know, surely God's arm is not too short or His hand is not too strong to heal. And you're supposed to pray, you know, when you come to us as the ministry team, you're supposed to pray for us and bless us and everything. And then I said to the translator, I said, just give me, and Linda had a Bible there, and I said, Linda, let's just read verse 2 of Isaiah 59. And you know what it said? It says, but your iniquities have stopped you from God's love. Or something like that. But it talked about your sin. It's a whole chapter on repentance and upon confessing the fact that you need to recognize that God's love is not just to bless you and to say, ooh, just continue in your ways. You need to say, God, I realize I'm sorry. I'm not trusting in you fully. I don't understand your love fully for me. I've trusted in so many other things. And we ended off saying, listen, yeah, we'll pray for you, but we're going to just pray that God opens your heart to see the truth. And in the end, she was blessed, and we did bless her. But, you know, it's sad sometimes when you realize, sure, you have to bring the truth. You can't compromise on the truth. But that is still love, because we know it's the answer. And so some people do respond or don't respond, but other people open their hearts and they say, I realize that I've got this alcohol problem, I've got this drinking problem, and I am sick of it. I want to get over it. And then they repent, and then they receive the Holy Spirit, and there's joy restored. And it's just amazing to see how God's hand moves. But it is sometimes a challenge for us to love people in the truth. But that's why we need the Holy Spirit. Because He's given us of His Spirit, the Word says. And then He goes on, He says, and we have seen and testified that the Father has sent His Son to be the Savior of the world. Whoever confesses that Jesus is the Son of God, God abides in him and he in God. Are you confessing Jesus Christ as the only Savior? Because let's be honest, we can tell the people of Lesotho, yeah, you trust in all your idols and everything like that, but don't we also trust in so many idols for our security? My wife and I were so challenged this holiday because we see Ferdy and Lulu laying down their lives and they're like at an age where they can just say, ach, we'll work a few more years and then we'll retire and just have a nice life. But they've decided to just go to Lesotho for 15 years to start churches and to preach the gospel and to see lives changed. And we like sitting there and, you know. And my wife now knows, I said to her, look, lovey, you're called for business. You're called to make money, to fund ministries like that. So don't like get all condemned now. But still, you get all challenged by, are we laying down our lives for the gospel or do we live a comfortable life? Do we really have the love of God abide in us? And it was also so awesome for me as a pastor to see how the team were just growing in their compassion for people and getting excited about going on more missions, and maybe some of them even saying, listen, yeah, if I have to go there and stay there for a while, I'll do that. I love the children. I was challenged by this one guy at this church. He He's now a paraplegic, or not a paraplegic. He's probably a cerebral palsy or something. He's now can't walk properly, and he's a bit, you know, I don't know how you call it, spastic or whatever like that. So he's not all with it. But he's such a blessing in that church, and Kaylee and Emma, they're just loving him. But I'm like, he's trying to get my sunglasses off my head. Now he comes up to you with his big eyes like that, and then he's trying to get my sunglasses off my head because he thinks they're so cool. And then he wants to look at himself into the vehicle's vehicle's windows like that with the sunglasses on. And but Emma and Kaylee are like just loving this guy, and they say, "Come, Paul, let's just go now. We're painting the church, and now he's getting his hands all white with the paint, so we have to get him out of the church because he's making a mess there on the paint and everything." But I was just so challenged by their love for this guy. They're just incredible. They just loved him. They grew in their love for him. And I'm just thinking, you know, sometimes he's a bit of an irritation, you know, and he wants to like kiss you and hug you and everything and ask Ferdi about the nice kiss that he got from Paul. But anyway. But, you know, just loving these people that are so different and that look so, you know. But I must say, I'll never forget that last Sunday when he walked into the church, and my heart just broke for him, because I just thought, sure. Imagine having that life. Imagine being all, not being able to walk properly and just having such a different life. But yet he's actually such a blessing, because God uses someone like that to expose the love in your heart or the lack of love in your heart. But only the Holy Spirit can do that. And only when we say, "Jesus, I need you to change my life." It says that whoever confesses that Jesus is the Son of God, God abides in him and he in God. And so we have come to know and believe the love that God has for us. And once again, John affirms it, or he confirms it, and says, God is love. And whoever abides in love abides in God, and God in him. See, God is not only love, and he doesn't only demonstrate his love to us. Romans 5 verse 8 says that, and this is one of the scriptures that changed my life when I realized that even while we were still sinners, the Bible says, God demonstrated his love for us by dying for us. Yet while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. God demonstrates his love in this. Isn't that amazing that while we were still sinners, and guess what? We still miss it many times. We're still sinners now. We still need God's love to come and reveal to us his deliverance and his freedom. John 3 verse 16, for God so loved the world that he gave. God is not a God who's intentional. He's a God who demonstrates. God is love. God demonstrates his love is the second thing. And thirdly, God causes us to love through his Holy Spirit. I want to say to us this evening, you know, and I'm challenged, if we don't have love, we are missing out on so much in the kingdom. Amen. If we don't have love, we're really missing out on the Christian life. The Christian life is about loving people. And you know, when I was sharing my testimony a couple of times, it was so awesome. The people are so open there. So we spent 2 hours at one family, because some of the men don't have work, so they're sitting there and they like waiting for something to happen. And so it's an awesome opportunity to just share with them the love of God. And so a couple of us shared our whole stories. Like, we were spending 2 hours with them, and I said to the people on my team, let's just share our testimonies about that God is real to us, because it doesn't help us sharing, you know, how awesome God is and how great and everything, and we haven't shared that we also come from a place where we were sinners and we got saved. So we shared our testimonies, and I just remember how God showing me that I really didn't like people a lot of my life. I grew up with such a shy person. I grew up on a farm, so I saw like one person in 2 years kind of thing, apart from my parents now. Maybe not that bad, but still not seeing many people. So I was so shy, and can almost see it a little bit in my son at times, because sometimes he gets so shy of the crowd, you know, he hasn't got time for people. Not now, you know, when he's got time for people, it's awesome, but sometimes he hasn't got time for people. And I think I was like that. I remember how shy I was, and when people used to come to the farm, and I would hide behind the couch or go to my room, because, oh, people, man, you know, this is not cool. People aren't so cool. Let's just go on with tasks. Let's just do stuff. Get stuff done. Work on the engines on the farm. Fix things, you know, but people, yeah, I'll just drink a cup of tea and then we go on, you know. And I really didn't like people a lot. I didn't like, you know, people were there, but didn't really have a love for people. Until God came into my life. And this is what I've been realizing in my testimony. I'm this left brain engineering, task focused, you know, let's get the job done and carry on. And God is just so changing my heart to love people. Because yes, I'm a pastor, so I'm supposed to be a shepherd, you know, shepherd the sheep, love the sheep. And then I realized how much God has done in my life. And when I was filled with the Holy Spirit, I got this intense passion just to, you know, relate to people. And then my parents still said to me, no, engineering job, there's not lots of people around. You must find yourself a job where there are people. And then I had the heart for the ministry and to, you know, speak to as many people as possible and to reach out to the lost. And it's just so awesome what God did in my life. And then at times I would go back to the old way again of, let's just get the job done and forget about the people. And God is just busy speaking to me about that, about loving people again, about celebrating people. And that's what I want to say to you tonight. You are celebrated, because not because I celebrate you, because God celebrates you. Because God is love. And verse 16 says that whoever abides in love abides in God and God in him. And then I have to ask myself, do I really abide in God, and does God's love abide in me? I don't know what it is that's keeping me back from this love, God, I asked him. And then he started to show me this verse. And he says, by this is love perfected with us, so that we may have confidence in the day of judgment. Because as he is, so also are we in this world. In other words, he's saying, in this world right now, one day it's going to be perfect, but right now you can still have the love of God. You can still have the love of God, just like Jesus walked on this earth with the love for people. We can still have it just like he had it. And then verse 18 is what I want to get to this evening. But before I get to that, I just want to clarify the previous verse. God wants us to have boldness, confidence in the day of reckoning, in the day of judgment. Do we have that as Christians? Do we have that confidence and that excitement about, you know, one day God is going to say to me, well done, good and faithful servant? Or are we unsure? And if we're unsure, let's not be unsure any longer. Let's say, God, thank you for your love for me. I want to have confidence so that I can go out and be bold to speak of your love. But many times we're not so sure about how God feels about us that we can't tell others about it. And when you go on a mission, you're challenged because you've got to tell people God wants you to have life. And you realize, do I have life? I'm speaking to myself a little bit here now. Am I so free that I can tell other people? Am I so confident in God's love for me? And that's why it's important to go on outreaches sometimes, to just get out of your own little comfort zone and your own box and say, God, show me how much you really love me, when I start to see how much you love other people. And this is what holds us back, I believe, and this is what God is saying to me. There is no fear in love. Tell someone next to you, there is no fear in love. But let's be honest, when a boyfriend or a girlfriend starts to love us, do we still have fear? Yes, we still have fear. We have fear that maybe they're going to drop us, maybe this is not the right one. When a mother or father loves us, do we have no fear? Yes, to a degree maybe, but we still have fear. Because we've seen the mess that's happening in families. We've seen there's divorce. So what happens if our parents divorce? What happens if they drop us? So what love is he talking about here? It's not just normal love. It's the following. Perfect love casts out fear. No other love will cast out fear except the love of Jesus Christ our Savior. No person can give us this love that we feel so fulfilled that we don't have any fears. But only his perfect love. And it doesn't say love casts out fear. It says perfect love casts out fear. God wants to establish and perfect his love in us. Why? So that we don't have fear. For fear has to do with punishment. And whoever fears has not been perfected in love. Whoever fears has not been perfected in love. That is the only way we can say we won't be afraid in this world. That is the only way, is when that perfect love comes into our hearts. And God wants to show that to us. Romans 8 says that his love will not separate. Nothing will separate us from his love. Nothing. No height, no depth, nor width, nor, you know, it's like everything that you can think of. Nothing will separate you from his love. Nothing. Hell cannot separate you from his love. Christ overcame hell and death itself. God, I believe, wants to perfect us so much in love, friends. If we really want it, if we say, God, do this in my heart. I don't have love always for people. I don't have love for myself many times. But God wants to celebrate you. God wants to celebrate you. And you know what? That's why we're having the CD launch. God wants to celebrate people. And I'm so excited about Friday night because it's like so in tune with what the Spirit is doing now. Because guess what? There is fear and uncertainty in this nation. There is. Let's be honest. We don't know what's going to happen. We don't know. And I'm just reminded, I was watching the program the other night on the 1994 elections, 20 years ago, when this country was saved by Jesus. By people who started to pray and said, Jesus, come and save this nation because there's a possible war happening here. And it was so interesting how there was still bloodshed. And it's amazing, we think that it was all peaceful, but it wasn't all peaceful. It was, the day itself was peaceful, but before that there was bloodshed, people going up into Bophuthatswana and just, you know, the Buddha there, the khaki guys, they just wanted to start making war and get people on their side. And it was, people got shot, and luckily, you know, it wasn't too much there. And then in KZN there was just so much shooting and killing, and lots of people lost their lives. But the day of the elections was one of the most peaceful days this nation has ever known, because there were people standing in the gap and say, God, your love needs to cast out the fear in this nation. And it's just amazing to realize the legacy that we're living in. And we as Christians, it's time for us to stand up and say, God, your perfect love casts out fear in this nation and casts out fear in our lives. But start with us, Lord. Start with us. Let us love people again. Let us celebrate people. Let us just show your love. But first, Lord, you've got to show it in us, because we don't always have it. God wants to demonstrate his love in our hearts. And I'm just so blessed by just the thing tonight of the still small voice, you know, because that is how God's going to start. It's not in the frenetic stuff. It's just being there and saying, God, here I am. Do what you need to do in my life. Change my life. So I need your love to cast out fear in my life. Fear of being rejected. Fear of failing. Fear of death even. But I know we can sing at the end of our lives, we will not be afraid. Even if we go to the slaughter like Stephen, being a martyr, preaching the truth, but still saying, Jesus, forgive them, because your love just compels me to just forgive them. I don't hold anything against them, Lord. I feel sorry for them, because I know where I'm going, but they're not going to heaven. So don't hold this against them, God. Forgive them. That is perfect love, and that only comes from being filled with the Holy Spirit. That comes from being filled with Jesus and his life in us. God in us and us in him. So I'm really excited about what God is doing. Because his holiness, his perfection, his amazing, furious love is going to cast out all fear. There's no place for fear in perfect love. So I don't know where you are in your life this evening. I don't know what fears you have, but I want you to be honest and say, God, this little fear of my exams that is in front of me, it's so small compared to the bigger picture of my life. Why do I need to fear this exam? Maybe if you haven't studied, yes, then you need to fear, okay? But have God's perfect love in you that you can study with freedom, because many times we don't study because we're so fearful. So we procrastinate and we just don't breathe out and say, God, help me to study properly. Help me to be free. And God will do his more than his bit. But you also need to work. God's not going to do it all for you. But he wants to show you his love, first of all. He wants to show you that you don't need to perform. You just do your best. You just study as hard as you can, and God will do the rest. God will prosper you. But don't fear anything. Don't fear like not getting a job one day. God has got a job for you. But be faithful to look out for a job and say, God, what is my passion? What do I really want to do? Because I must look for that. It doesn't help me doing something just for the sake of something. But take me along this path, God, because of your love. If your love is with me, nothing needs to be against me. Nothing can stand against me. But think of it. Think of it right now. What fear do you have? Don't allow that fear to determine your life. Tell that fear to leave. Tell that thing that is keeping you back from God's love, I want to make way now. And it's just a choice that you make. You say, fear, I'm making way now. God's love is going to come in. There's no room for you and God's love. So just leave my life. God is so great. His love is so awesome. His love is so perfect. And the Bible says that he's perfected. His perfect love casts out fear, and he wants to perfect his love in us so that we do not have any fear. Can we all stand and just pray this evening? Lord, I just want to thank you right now for your amazing love in our hearts, Lord. Thank you for your love for us. Thank you that you love us so much, Lord. And I just pray right now, Lord, for each person in this place. Thank you that those who can truly say, Lord, that your love is there, but Lord, there's still fear. And I want to thank you that you replace that fear. You replace the condemnation. You replace the doubts. You replace all the darts that the evil one has poured out in their hearts. You want to replace that with your perfect love. You want to say to us, and you want us to say that we will not be afraid of whatever comes our way. We will not be afraid of the future. We will not be afraid of whether our lives are going to mean something or not. Because Lord, if we follow you in your perfect love, then our lives will mean exactly what you have set out for them to mean. So I thank you for every heart in this place. For your love, Lord. And I want to thank you that you celebrate each person, Lord, just for who they are, that they don't not have to do anything more to earn your love or anything. You love them just as they are. But I also want to thank you, Lord, that your perfect love does cast out fear. And just like in my own testimony, Lord, when you, through Peter Pollock, said to me that if there's no change in my life, there's no Jesus, I want to thank you that, Jesus, you bring change in our lives. You bring us to this place where we do not have to walk with the same fears anymore. We don't have to walk with the same sicknesses or diseases or demonic oppression or depression or whatever it is, Lord. We don't have to walk with it when we've encountered your love. And I want to thank you tonight for every person that needs to encounter your love tonight, because there's still fear specifically gripping them. And I want to thank you right now that you come and replace that fear with your perfect love. But I want to thank you, Lord, that each one can just say to you, Lord Jesus, tonight, that I recognize that there is something that you must come and deliver me of. You must come and change me. And I want to thank you for that tonight. If the Lord is speaking to you specifically about this fear, whether it's failure or rejection or fear of the future, then I want to just give you an opportunity, because I want to trust God that He just comes to deliver you this evening. I don't want you to leave this place where you have the same fear of, are you going to make it? Is your life going to mean something? Are you going to make your exams, your studies, your career? Are you going to make it in the kingdom even? Maybe that failure, I just sense there's people, even in the kingdom, you feel like you failed. The Lord's saying to you tonight, you have not failed. But I want to deliver you of that fear, because if it keeps going, you're going to keep feeling like a failure. And you're not a failure, but you're feeling like it because there's just that fear of failure. The Lord wants to deliver you tonight because He loves you. Nothing more. He wants to deliver you and heal you and save you because He loves you. So, If the Lord's speaking to you and you would like to respond, to come forward, then I just want you to give your fears to Jesus tonight. And I want you to confess and say, Lord, thank you for your love. Because of your perfect love, I will not be afraid. I will not fear. And then we can truly sing and say, we will not be afraid. And we can confess that we will not be afraid. But just receive God's love again this evening. Maybe it's you've done it again and again and again, and that's fine. Do it until that fear leaves. We're going to just sing the song again of Jeremy Riddle. Your love is fierce and wide and furious and all those amazing things. Your love is awesome. And if you need to respond tonight, I would love to pray with you and say, God, deliver your people of this fear. Because we will not be afraid. Your perfect love casts out all fear.